City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Sound of Merseyside time. Normally we have a John Gibbons sat to my right-hand side. He's on a stag do of all things. If he's not at some European football match, he's doing stag do, so he's away. But instead, he has sent in the formidable Johnny Sands on his own. Johnny, we don't normally get an artist on their own, but welcome to the studio. How are you, man?
Good morning. I'm excellent.
Great to see you. So you just came into reception there. I rang down. I said, get him upstairs, quick, yeah, quick, smart.
I've been just racing around the city trying to park.
Right. If you don't know who Johnny is, Johnny's appearing at Sound City this weekend. You've got quite the reputation, haven't you? Just give people an idea about yourself, where you're at with your musical career, Johnny.
Well, I signed a deal last year with a local label, Baltic Records, which is a great local label. I've already recorded an album that's ready to go, so we've released three singles now from that, and then we're just gearing up to put the album out.
So it's really taken off in the past, what, year and a half?
It's been great. The first single got a great response, made, like, the Sunday Times hot singles, and it got a lot of press, basically, and it kind of just got the ball rolling, and then we've continued from there. We've just sporadic gigs, just kind of trying to keep it low-key. And growing it organic.
You don't want to be low key,
but not in this city. I don't want to be. No, no.
You want to be set to stage, don't you? Right, it's your city as well, isn't it? Where are you from? Give us an idea of your upbringing.
My dad, he was born in Paris, but he ended up in South America. We ended up moving around as kids for God knows how long, and then from about 8 or 9, we settled in a place called Bursko, which you might know.
I know Bursko very well.
Not too far on the train, so I ended up on the train to Liverpool most weekends, and I'd go down. I remember I'm actually a big Blackburn fan, and I used to have pictures of Alan Shearer.
Why Blackburn? What was it about Blackburn?
God, no. My dad, he had some connection with Rovers, and I just followed suit, which was obviously a big mistake, but, you know.
Do you ever get over to Ewood Park?
I do, yeah. I've got a mate who actually played for a bit last couple of years. So I used to go quite a lot, but I've not been. I didn't go last season. It's been a bad time.
It's been something.
And it's probably more interesting following Italian football.
But your musical influence and sort of that headway, the passage that you've made in the music industry, where did that come from then?
Alan Shearer was replaced with John Lennon from a very early age.
Really?
I used to come in to Liverpool and go to the Beatles memorabilia shop and just buy pictures of John Lennon, basically.
But obsessively?
I filled my wall with him. But then I think that, and the Beatles were a big thing of just kind of songwriting and all that kind of 60s, 70s period of music was, my dad had been a musician as well. He was a jazz musician, but he was heavily influenced by 60s, 70s rock and pop. And he just basically put it upon me, this record collection. And I started there from about 13, 14, listening to Dylan, the Stones, all the golden era, basically, of bands, singer-songwriters, and it was immersed in it from that point.
This is a great city to be involved in music. It is. It's one of those special cities, isn't it? It's
probably without question.
Yeah.
I just think, not to harp on about the Beatles too much, but they laid a foundation of expectancy of live music in the city. So there's always live music. Mm. It's something that's just ingrained in everyday life, and there's a scene, and as there always has been, and I think it'll just continue to thrive. And you've got a community, you know, it's a city that ultimately is like a village in the sense of people's relationships with each other. You know, you get to meet a lot of people quite quickly in the city. I settled very quickly, and never wanted to go anywhere else, really.
And of course, Sound City this weekend. It's a great example of how the city can showcase itself with music, not just individuals from the city, but the lineup. And you're involved in this, but obviously the likes of Catfish, who are just on the way to becoming ginormous, The Coral, Left Field, Pete Doherty, Circa Waves, Dandy Warhols, on and on. It must be special to be involved in it yourself.
Yeah. I've been involved in it from the start as well. I think I've played every one.
Have you?
From a really the small kind of Bulge Street coffee gig to those gigs. It was growing steadily anyway, year on year. And then last year, obviously, they took it to that next level, moving it to the Docklands, giving it that kind of more classic festival feel, in the sense of everything's on one site, bar the camping.
Is it massively different from an artist's perspective on how it was originally on different sort of sites and different areas?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
You kind of changed the whole dynamic of it. I mean, obviously, in the city was it changed that you're going from running from venue to venue, and obviously a lot of people really loved that, and that is a great thing about what the festival had. But when it moved to the Docks, it had something else which was also special, so it was just different. But equally, you could tell it could grow into, like, a much bigger festival in a way, and obviously bigger acts, I suppose, because you know, bigger stages, and obviously the acts that have been booked since then have shown that, like, what you got on this weekend is just going to be, it's probably going to be
crackers,
mammoth.
Really. When are you playing? When can people catch Johnny Sands?
Saturday night.
Right.
On the tall ship. They're bringing in this big old boat. They're going to moor it up and then they've set up a mammoth
and throw
stage.
You on it.
Yeah, captain for the...
Hey, that's quite good. So
it's pretty cool.
Have you seen the boat?
I've seen a picture of it and it looks mammoth. It's
right
and beautiful as well. I love boats. I was brought up like in Burscough, obviously the canal is a massive thing. We had a narrow boat and ended up on boats all the time, and I think it's quite fitting that I'm playing the ship without being a cruise singer.
Do you know what? That conjures all sorts of images, though. A band on a ship. It's almost like a music video, isn't it?
I know.
You on a ship.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get this filmed.
Get it filmed.
So what time's this on?
8 p.m. Saturday.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Johnny Sands, my special guest in the studio. Johnny, local lad, who's done big things in the past couple of years, got an album out there, and we're going to play some of his music now. So, Johnny, you introduce this. So the two songs we got, Arno Arno and Das Pop, which one do you want to play first?
We'll go Arno Arno.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
This was the first single that's released from the album to come, and it was one, actually, I recorded with a guy, John Wibnall. He'd been passed on, good, great engineer. I was just like, I need to get some of these tracks down that I'd just been noodling with at home. And we went in, I did three tracks on the first day, and this one was done in like the last hour, basically. Just put down as an idea, but then it just stayed as what you'd hope good tracks do, and they just, it kind of grew, and I just, the more I heard it, the more I liked it. And we really did very little production and engineering wise, it just fell into place. So, and this was Arno Arno.
You're moving your head, moving your legs, money for eyes, money for bread, and everything that rolls down here. You try to connect, try not neglect, trying to roll, trying to respect, and everything that comes down here. Thank you.
Arno, Arno. What's Arno?
It's the river in Florence.
Right.
Where I'd spent a lot of summers on holiday, and it's just an inspirational place. It was one. I was just sat at home. It was probably middle of the winter, and I was just like, take me back. You know.
You look like you should be like next to a Parisian river or yeah, something. You got those glasses and the hair and the appearance.
You'd be right. Toxtiff Riviera. That's where I'm from.
No, you'd be right at home in Paris next to
of course, man.
The Seine or something like that. Now, the fascinating thing about that music, if you listen to it, you probably just think, yeah, that sounds incredible, sounds big, sounds like a lot of different members to the band. No, it's just Johnny. And the idea behind this, it's quite hard to explain, so I think you have to be really simplistic about the whole thing. But that's literally you with a beatbox, a drum box.
Yeah, I use a real simple old analog drum machine, one synth, one piano, and then that was it.
You're a one-man band.
Essentially,
so why that idea of doing it all yourself and maybe not getting others in as sort of a backing element to you?
As I said, like my roots have been like the 60s, 70s rock and pop, and I'd always been like kind of a more folky artist on the scene, playing acoustic guitar and vocal. But in terms of production-wise, when it came to recording, I loved drum machines. I've always loved them, and I loved kind of a lot of 80s stuff like Talk Talk and the Blue Nile. Mm. And I just wanted something different as well. And then I actually tried to put a live band together to do it, but it just wasn't close enough to the recordings. And I'd been offered some gigs out in South Korea. I had to go over on my own. So I had to work out a way of doing it live. And luckily for me, there's a program called Ableton, which is an amazing live software program to play on your own, basically, and trigger sounds. And it's kind of partly how music is going as well.
So without diminishing what you do, when you play live, do you literally press a button to start the whole sort of backing music behind you? How does it work?
What you've got is you've got what's called a launch pad. You've got all the stems, which are each individual part of the song, and then you trigger them one by one.
Right.
And then you can take them in and out during a song. And on top of that, I'll be playing guitar and I've got a vocal unit that I'll work with, like the delay on and stuff like that. So it's one of those things. It's incredibly complex.
It's like being a DJ, but also singing, yeah, and playing a guitar.
And I think that's where, like, you know, that dance element that came in and started influencing modern rock and pop. And you've got that. It's just, and those technologies are combining now. And then you've got singer songwriters that can also use all that to the kind of advantage live. And I mean, if you think, like, I know Kanye West gets a lot of stick, but I mean, one of the biggest artists on the planet played Glastonbury with just a mic. It's like,
yeah, I saw that. Incredible.
It was really impressive, just all these light bulbs. I mean, you just think, wow. I mean,
that is so hard to do it on your own and actually keep everyone sort of engaged with you.
Exactly. I mean, he's got massive support, and he's got a lot of haters, shall we say. And when I saw it, I thought, well, you know, that's the biggest artist on the planet, like, doing it like that. But it doesn't mean it's the right way, but what it means is it's then probably acceptable, I think, to do it live. I think there was always a bit of a stigma with backing tracks and stuff like that, but what you quickly work out is that even a live band, nearly all the top dogs, they're all using sequencing live, and once you've got your head around that, then it just opens up possibilities to travel with the music, go to different places, and have the exact sound you want in your head. As an artist, if you can go and record all these things, then you want to put them out live, because live's probably it's where an artist really is. They're in their element, because it's that moment of living in the moment and delivering something as monumental as in your head. And if you can't get that across, sometimes it's frustrating. So,
Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport, and talk for Liverpool.